Welcome to Societal Shapers, a podcast by PL Cadilla, the place to get inspired, find your purpose and courage, and get tools to become the next female leader, creating real results and meaningful changes.
Hi, welcome to the next episode of the Societal Shapers. Here today with me, I have Jamie Lee from Singapore, a young, ambitious entrepreneur whom I will allow her to introduce herself in a little bit. So, Jamie, tell us a bit more about your background, family and education, and share some of your personal experiences while growing up.
Hey, I'm Jamie. So this year I'm turning 21 years old. So yeah, actually I'm from Singapore. So I just graduated from diploma. Yep. Mm-hmm. So I've been venturing into business, particularly in e-commerce in the beginning, from when I was about 18, 19 years old. Yeah, so for my family side of things, right, when I wanted to venture into business or, you know, explore the business world in terms of marketing, advertising, there was a lot of objections. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in Singapore, it's education comes first, you know, like every parents, every relatives want you to do very well in school and, you know, go to a very good university, get a great job, 9 to 6 and everything. But I realized that it isn't what I really want because, I mean, honestly, of course, I study full time, you know, even in school, 9 to 6. After that, you know, you have CCAs. CCA in Singapore is like a co-curricular activity. Basically, it's activities that you do in school after studying. Yeah. 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 So I realized that kind of lifestyle was a bit tiring for me. Like, I couldn't really enjoy it. Like, for example, I have passion for animals. Yeah, but because of the 9 to 6 life, I was dragged down. You know, like I couldn't really be happy, I would say.
Yeah.
So in terms of family wise, yeah, in the beginning there wasn't a lot of support from, you know, my relatives and my parents and everything, because like what I say, they want us to study very well, you know, and, you know, just get a very good certificate so that you can guarantee a good job. Yeah. But what I felt is that honestly in today's society, right, even if you have a 9 to 6 job, you're still stuck in that thing called a rat race. You know, you cannot get out of that red race if you are in the 9 to 6. Yeah, so I believe that there's this Chinese term called 先苦后甜. I'm not sure if you have heard of it. Yeah, but basically you suffer for 3 years, for example, and then you can enjoy for the rest of your life. Or would you rather suffer for 30 years and, I mean, yeah, I mean, you enjoy for 30 years and then suffer for the rest of your life or something. Yeah, so for me, I believe in 先苦后甜. Which is to suffer first and then to endure. I mean, it's because we are all young, so we can take the risk to actually, you know, do something different, like, as compared to like my peers in school and everything. Yeah, so one of the challenges, like what I say, is the rejections and the objections from my families and friends, lah. When I wanted to, you know, venture into business, advertising, instead of continuing like universities and everything. Yeah.
So this is very interesting, right? So there's a few parts that which I want to really break it down for the audience when they're listening to this. So the first is actually when you were about 17, 18 and you were at school, you were going through the usual daily structures, like how all of us would have gone through. So even though, you know, you're in Singapore, but I believe for Malaysia, it's not that different. And for any other ASEAN country, it's also not that different. Every parent would expect, you know, their child to have a stable job, a 9 to 6, so security and stability. Mm-hmm. That's the key words, right? Just like how they did it. So, you know, in that regard, at 17, 18, how did you, you know, make that decision and say, you know what, I am not happy with my life. And I want to, instead of just kind of sucking up to not being happy with your life, you actually did something about it. So what was that point or that trigger that pushed you?
Initially, I started, okay, because I was in poly. So in Singapore, poly is 3 years. So actually, in the first year of school, I wanted to do something outside of school. Because in school, I wasn't really contributing much. Like, I feel that, you know, I mean, education is important, but what's the point of getting a very good grades, but if my experience is very lacking?
Yeah. But where did you get that realization? Who were your influences? Were you watching people online? You know, were there inspirational role models that you looked up to?
Honestly, I don't have any role models at that time. Yeah. So why did I even venture into outside? It's just, I just suddenly, I don't know why actually, I just suddenly grew out of it. Yeah. Maybe because my parents,
What about your friends?
A lot of my friends, they are still in that school life kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
So honestly, there was a lot of sacrifices when I decided to, you know, I want to focus on outside instead of school. Although my results is still pretty okay, I would say. Yeah, but then why did I decide to venture into business and all? I think ultimately is I just suddenly thought of like, what should I do after secondary school? Like, I couldn't find my purpose. So I just wanted to take that first step to experience first.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the first step is always the most important and the most crucial. Yeah.
Absolutely, so, right? Mm. And the first step is usually the most frightening part of the journey. Mm. So as you said, you know, you have so much backlash, you know, people were against it, your parents, you know, didn't agree with this decision. So how did you overcome that fear?
I mean, my character is quite, the more you tell me not to do, the more I will do it. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, probably a bit rebellious. But basically, because I believe that if you believe in something, then you will do it. If you believe in what other people say, right, then what's the point of living your life, you know? Might as well just be a follower and everything. Yeah, so for me, I didn't really want to, like, I want to live my own life. Yeah.
Since your friends or people who were surrounding you, right? Were you kind of like left behind in terms of, because you were not like your typical peers, so you wanted to venture into business, you wanted to have, you know, a life that you could explore and see, you know, what that would look like on your own, and then all your friends were still going through their usual normal routine. Mm-hmm. So how did that make you fit in, or rather fit out?
Okay, I'm still friends with, you know, my classmates and everything, but of course we are not as close as compared to, you know, the business partners that I have outside, the friends that I meet outside. Yeah, because, so like what I say, honestly, for friends-wise in school, I have to make like quite a lot of sacrifices, like even in relationship-wise and everything. I did make sacrifices in order to obtain what I wanted at that point of time.
What kind of sacrifices?
When I first started, it was, I would say, more of relationship, as in friends-wise and even like boy-girl relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I was determined to, you know, I want to earn money.
Yeah.
You know, for my family and even for myself, I want to grow myself as an individual. But then during that time, I would say the relationship or even the friendships that I have, some of them may not be as supportive. Like, they do not understand why am I doing it.
So yeah, how do you deal with that? Did you tell them? Did you explain to them?
Honestly, even if I did explain to them, but then it doesn't really come to like common senses. Yeah, because different people have different goals in life. You know, maybe for me now is to, I want to have a good career and everything. But then my friends can be like, oh, I mean, I'm just looking for something comfortable because I still have my parents that I can, you know, it's like, they can just depend on their parents now. I mean, I can depend on my parents also, but then whether or not I want to do it at this period, it's another thing. Yeah, so actually, I mean, I did tell my past relationship that, you know, this is what I want now, but if you and I, you know, we don't have the common goal, you don't see the same thing that I do, then of course it's not going to work out.
Yeah.
So that was one sacrifice that I had to make while I was studying and, you know, balancing work at the same time and also in a relationship and all.
Yeah. I would say for someone your age to be able to make that call and carry out these sacrifices, there's obviously, you know, a level of maturity to you compared to a lot of your other peers. You know, speaking to a lot of other younger people in today, you know, a lot of them are still, you know, at that stage of figuring out, what is my purpose? What do I want to do with it? So, but instead of kind of like, you know, just going for it and obviously falling and facing challenges and barriers as they go along, they'd rather just kind of hang where it's comfortable, right? So it's neither here nor there. Let me just stay here, and then hopefully something kind of happens to me that will push me to the edge and then push me in the direction that I should be in, rather than
like
going
following the flow and everything. Yeah,
exactly. So I really like it, that the fact that you're a go-getter, and I think that's a very strong message that people, especially young female talents who aspire to become female leaders, need to know at a very young age. These are the characteristics that you need to nurture and build within yourself, just as a person. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to know what that is, right? You have to trust in the journey, but you must proactively propel yourself forward. Mm. And I think that's the key. And that's how come you're so successful today. So having said that, your business partners, are they as young as you or are they more mature?
Yeah, they are honestly way mature than me. I mean,
you're older, yeah?
Some of them are still in their late 20s.
Okay.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say they are very old, but you know, it's like the mid-age, I would say. Yeah, so they actually, but honestly, a lot of my partners are males. Mm. So, you know, that time when we talk about feminism and everything, it came to sense that, like, you know, not a lot of females are actually given the same opportunity, I would say. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So imagine, like, you know, people who are listening into this podcast, right? They're probably wondering, how did you first break away from the circle that you're in? Because for a lot of people, it's not so easy to break away from their current circle. They need to, you know, meet people. They need to be able to be introduced, or their network needs to be big. Mm-hmm. And how at that young age were you able to break away from that circle, meet these new people, eventually your business partners, and then how did you convince them for them to make you a business partner?
I think one most important thing is your mindset. So are you willing to change? You know, if your answer is still no, then of course it's probably not gonna work out for you. Like, even if opportunity hits your door, but you're not gonna grab it because you're not willing to change your current lifestyle. You know, maybe you are partying every day, you are drinking every day, you are like watching Netflix every day. But if you're not even willing to change that habit of yours, bad habit, I would say, then of course, even if opportunity came, it's not gonna work out. Yeah, so I would say most importantly is the mindset. You know, I started off with reading some books. Okay, for me, I'm not really a book person, but then I started off with like reading books first, and then
What is your top three, or maybe the one book that you would want, that you would recommend people to read?
The first book, that business book, I would say, that I read was Rich Dad Poor Dad. Yeah, okay. So it teaches me about, you know, like how the rich things, how the poor things and everything. Yeah, so
that's great. You know why I laugh? It's because that was also my book that propelled me into, you know, starting this whole entire journey or whatever on my own, right? Becoming an entrepreneur, starting out, just, you know, leaving the Central Bank of Malaysia because I wanted to do something on my own. So even from a young age, and you can imagine how impactful this book, Rich Dad Poor Dad, was, because between you and I think we have like a 2-decade generation gap. So, you know, for people who are listening, and if you think, oh, you know, what book should I start with? Rich Dad Poor Dad is a classic. And you guys can start reading that, exactly, by Robert Kiyosaki. And then hopefully that will spark something in you. And going back to the question which I was asking about, how did you meet your business partners?
It was through online, actually.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, because I was looking for, you know, what are the ways that, you know, I can source for an income, actually. Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's why I came across, oh, actually e-commerce, online, it's the trend, which, I mean, because I shop a lot. Yeah, so I know that, you know, e-commerce is definitely going to be something that is going to grow. Yeah, and that's how Alibaba, Amazon, all of them did it.
Mm-hmm. In the past. So you went online and you started getting to know people, and then those included your business partners. So this company that you are part of, is it a company that you started together, or was it a company that you joined?
Our current company is more of like a digital transformation agency. So we started recently only.
Okay.
Yeah. So
you actually you built this company from scratch together with your partners?
There's a total of 5 co-founders. Okay. Yeah. But then I'm more of like a partnership with them.
Okay.
Because all of us met in the previous, I won't say it's a previous company, it's still our main company that we are currently working in. Yeah. Okay. So that's how we actually met each other. And then they decided to, you know, open their own agency. Yep. So I took on a role, more on events management, marketing, and all. Yeah.
Okay. So you're quite versatile in your skill sets, right?
Mm.
So you're very passionate about youth empowerment, correct?
Mm. Yeah.
So what makes you passionate about youth empowerment, and what is the backstory on this?
One thing is because I started off, like I say, I started off when I was 18 years old. I didn't know what I wanted to do. Yeah, I just know that, you know, I want to do something that's related to business because it adds value to the people around me and even the society. Like, that's what I believe in, you know. I can actually give, you know, like, give talks, provide my knowledge and share with people. basically giving back to the society lah. Yeah, so I found out that a lot of youths nowadays, they have a hard time finding the purpose. Even for me, although, you know, I kind of know what's my purpose, but it may not be the main thing, you know, may not be the main purpose. Yeah, so what's important is to keep, be willing to learn and everything. Yeah, so for me, I'm very willing to learn and to venture into different business opportunities, which I believe that a lot of youths nowadays, they should have that kind of mentality. You know, instead of maybe a job that pays you like 3K or 2K, why not you look for a job that, you know, maybe you don't earn anything yet, but then it helps you to build the experience from scratch. Because, I mean, since you are young, you have the time to actually spare, you know, unless your family situation is extremely bad, then of course it's better if you get a part-time job or something. Yeah, but I believe that for youths nowadays, like what I say, for them to find a purpose, they need to have opportunities. Yeah, so I believe... So I believe that through, like, for example, the podcast or even agencies that you join, right, and you support youths, it will help them in their future prospects. Yeah.
That's brilliant. I love hearing that. I mean, it's so powerful, yet so subtle. And I love it that you're starting to help others already at such a young age, right? So I wanted to bring you back to the point where you said, so what you've noticed amongst the youth today is that they are finding it difficult to find their purpose. So as a result of not being able to find their purpose, what is it that you're seeing as a result of that?
One thing is they become too reliant.
On their parents?
On their parents or even maybe their mentor or something. But majority of the time is parents, I would say. Yeah, because, how do I say, like, they are too comfortable in that place, you know, their home and everything. So a lot of youths won't be willing to change. Yeah, thus for me, I believe in, you know, doing reflections on social media, personal branding, so that, you know, when people actually see it, they might be inspired or something. Yeah, I mean, I'm just sharing my thoughts out there to the public and everything. Yeah, so I believe that youths should, how do I say, reflect more.
Yeah.
And they reflect more and then they will slowly discover, oh, okay, actually what I'm doing now, it's a bit waste of time. I should change the way I'm doing things.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I mean, reflection is such an important part of personal development, personal growth. So even today, you know, doing reflections is just something that you cannot skip. So, you know, one of the ways is either to journal a lot of stuff that you're doing. Some parts is actually asking for feedback. So, you know, working in a company that also allows you to ask for feedback from your superiors, ask for feedback from your colleagues, for example. And, you know, one of the other things is in terms of like the current situation with the crisis, etc. How is this impacting the job market in Singapore, right? And so what is like the one advice you want to give to the young people in Singapore in terms of, you know, we're going through this crisis, and if you don't prepare yourselves with this advice, then how would you be able to overcome this?
I'll say one advice, personally, that's what I'm doing now, because of course we cannot go out for events or go out for, you know, meet people and everything. So one thing that I'm doing now is online courses. Yeah, which honestly it's not very expensive. Like if you were to do like maybe online marketing, digital marketing, or like human resource or something. Yeah, so I believe that more people can do like e-learning. It's like e-learning kind of module.
Themselves, right?
Yeah.
Online learning. Yeah. So that's a great advice. That's good. So when it comes to politics, right, Jamie, I know you're very savvy when it comes to like entrepreneurship and e-commerce. When it comes to politics, is that something that you are interested in?
Politics? Not really. Yeah, I try to, you know, lower the, you know, politics and everything. So
what's the reason that you're not interested in politics?
You mean like the government side and...
Yeah, just, you know, being part of the civil, being part of the public sector, understanding how this works.
For public sector, I've not really thought about it because one thing is, I feel like government, like, you know, in politics and everything, you need to make very, very crucial decisions that will impact the country itself, which I would say I'm not really keen in that because I prefer like flexibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you also feel that there's like a gap of like, you know, what they are doing in terms of, okay, whether or not I can be part of that? It feels like there's this big gap of what can I contribute in that arena?
Yeah, honestly, I feel like there's quite a big gap because not a lot, I mean, it's not very easy to access into, you know, politics and government actors and everything. So there's not a lot of opportunities if we were to venture into like these kind of industries.
Yeah. So that's an interesting part, right? Because I think for, and not just for Singapore, but across the world, in fact, there's not that many pathways for people who want to actually contribute back to society by being part of the public sector or by being part of the government, right? So in order for you to be part of the government, usually, you know, the career starts with politics and then you become an elected official leader, etc. And I think that's the gap between the young people and what's currently happening in the government sector. So this particular interview is to also understand from a young person's perspective, a young female, talented and successful perspective, you know, then it is also understanding that it's a waste of talent, that none of these talent, like people like you, are being fed into the system or being able to be nurtured as a young female talent within the public sector space. So now, do you feel that the current political system and public sector space actually lacks in female leaders in general?
I would say from what I see, you know, in Singapore and all, honestly, there's still stereotypes in terms of like females being the leader and everything. Yeah, honestly, there's pros and cons lah, to be a guy and to be a female in leading like the country and everything. So I feel that there is still a lack of female participations and, you know, women taking up leadership positions, especially in the politics and government sector.
Yeah, and I think Singapore is one of the countries that have done very well, especially in this region, right? For a very small country, obviously it's a small country, you know, the president and all of the ministers, they have the qualifications, they have the intellectual capacity, and therefore that's why they are in those positions. But in many countries, you know, we don't have this. So because of the gender biasness as well, so we have more male within the leadership positions, and they are there because just by virtue of being a male, you know, so then therefore that person might not be the best person to be in that specific role. And so that's what's lacking, right? So because a lot of the social injustices that we see today, so I know you are passionate about youth empowerment. I want to bring it back to social injustices and youth empowerment. So in terms of just, you know, looking around at your network and seeing how, you know, a lot of youth kind of like don't have a purpose today, but what are the other more dire, I would say, social injustices or things that's happening within the youth? Maybe it can be some form of addiction. Maybe it can be some form of abuse, any of that sort that you've come across in your life.
I'll say a lot of youth, I mean, some of my friends and all that I know of, they have their own secret, but they are not willing to share with, you know, their friends or even their parents themselves, because one thing is they are scared of speaking out. You know, like, for example, today I want to be a doctor or something, but then my parents want me to be a lawyer or something, but they are not willing to, how do I say, tell their parents or even tell the world that, you know, this is what I want.
Yeah.
So I feel that
But do you know why they are fearful of saying that? Is it because, you know, there's a fear of judgment or fear of a backlash of, you know, just trying to understand where this fear comes from?
I would say it's more fear of the judgment and also society. You know, like if I were to say that, oh, I want to be a model or something, but then society might be viewing modeling as like, oh, it's not as good as a doctor industry and everything. So definitely judgment is one important point that people are, even youth nowadays, they are more scared of, you know, because they are scared of being judged. You know, in school, there's a lot of like judging, criticisms and everything. So I think from young, if they were built up in that kind of, how do I say, situation.
Yeah. They are scared of being judged. Mental health issues, is that more prevalent that you see? The rise of mental health issues?
I would say it will be increasing actually in youth also, because I mean, one thing is, if you lack of experience, you know, they lack of the knowledge of the world outside, they wouldn't know what to do. You know, imagine if I'm like 25 or 30 or 35 years old and I still don't really know what's the purpose.
Yeah.
Then I would just be, you know, moving in my life aimlessly.
Yeah, just going with the flow, doing things, but without any satisfaction, right? There will always be that void. Yeah, so I agree. I mean, thank you so much, Jamie, for sharing your time for this podcast. I mean, just before we finish, maybe you can help answer one question, which is, you know, who do you look up to as inspirations or role models, and who do you draw inspiration from? And that could be like, you know, your mom, your dad, just people close to you as well.
Honestly, for me, I don't really have a role model or someone that I really follow. Yeah, but it's a social media person, I would say Gary Vee. Yeah, because he's very willing to just speak his thoughts out. You know, like he's someone who is very persistent and determined.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, I like watching his videos and everything because there's a lot of energy and power to it.
Yeah.
Which I feel that a lot of people need it, especially in Asia. A lot of us are kept in this, you know, we are very shy. We don't really dare to speak up and everything. So, yeah, he's someone that, you know, I really look up to because of his willingness to just speak up his mind and, you know.
That's great. Yeah, so I think the three, I watch Gary Vee as well amongst, you know, the many others whom I seek to find inspiration from. And I think the part about Gary Vee is that he's like an engine that never stops, right? So he has all the energy, all that, and he has his own thoughts, and he's formed that thought, and which is something, like you said, people in Asia should really learn to form their own thoughts and opinions over something and not just listen or be influenced or just be easily be or keep quiet. That's what a lot of Asians do, right? A lot of the time, because we don't like confrontation, we just, okay, we stay silent. We don't have to participate in the conversation or in the discussion, despite it being very important and very critical for people to have their voices heard. Because when you have your voices heard, especially as a young person, that means it shows what exactly the future generation wants for our country to look like and for the world to look like. And, you know, one of the other parts about Gary Vee is that he's very authentic. He speaks his mind. He speaks about, you know, what he wants and how he thinks the world will change, et cetera, et cetera. But that's all an opinion. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. The point is, are you brave enough? Are you courageous enough? Are you confident enough to articulate your message? And I think that's great, Jamie, that you find inspiration for people like that. But I wished you had someone locally or from Asia or an Asian person who you also be able to draw some inspiration from. So hopefully in time, you know, we'll be able to share more from you in the future. And so thank you so much for joining us in the next session of the Societal Shapers. Do you have any last words you'd like to share?
Just fight hard.
So chiao in Chinese, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much, Jamie. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you liked it, give it a thumbs up, subscribe, leave a comment, and share with your friends. Be sure to tune in to the next episode, and to find out how to be part of Societal Shapers, head to www.plcadilla.com and check out our coaching programs. Catch you soon!